The Lord has got something for us this morning, and it's good. What we've already had is good. And what He's going to give us between now and the end of the service is also very good. And so I want you to have an expectant attitude in your heart. You know, over in the third chapter of Acts, when Peter and John were going to the temple that day, and they came by the gate, which is called Beautiful, and there was a crippled man who had been lame from his birth. And he was sitting by the gate that day. He sat there day after day after day at the hour of prayer, waiting for God's people as they went by to maybe give him an alms. And as Peter and John went by that day, he held out his palm, asking for an alms. He held out his palm, and he asked for an alms. And this is what Peter did say. The man looked up at him as he began to speak, and he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." And the man looked up at him expecting to receive something. And then Peter said to him, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Hallelujah. And that man jumped up off of that dirt, and he began to leap and walk and praise God through the temple. And that day many people were brought into the kingdom of Jesus Christ that day. But he expected to receive something from the man of God. And when you come before the throne of God, if you expect to receive something from God, I guarantee you, in accordance with the word that He has given unto us, that you'll receive it. If you don't expect to receive anything from God, then do not be disappointed if you don't receive it. Because you must come before Him with an expectant heart. So many folks don't receive anything from the Lord because they don't expect Him to give. We must come before Him in faith, expecting Him to meet our needs. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. God wants to pour out an abundance of blessing upon all of His children. He wants to pour it out not only upon His children, but He wants to pour it out even on the devil's children. He wants them to be born again. He wants them to be saved. He wants them to come to a knowledge of the truth. If we just come before His throne expecting to receive from Him, He's got whatever it is that you need. He's got whatever it is that I need this morning. I'm expecting Him to give me something this morning special. Are you?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Last week we talked about God's program for the church, and we looked at God's three-point program in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I want to read just two verses of it. Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12. "He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And you remember we said last week that the reason that God has set these ministry gifts in the church is to mature the saints of God in order that they might go forth and do the work of the ministry. Isn't that what we said? We said that God's three-point program last week was to set ministry gifts in the church. And that His second point of His program was to equip the church through those gifts to build up the saints of God so that they would be able to go forth and do the work of the ministry. And the third point in that program was that God intends for His church to be edified and to be built up in love. Well, what I want to talk to you about this morning is point number two of that program. What, in fact, is the work of the ministry? Now, I think that if God has called us to do something, if He is equipping us through apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and through the power of His Spirit, all of this enabling and so on is going on within the church of Jesus Christ, in order to equip us to do the work of the ministry, then we sure ought to know what the work of the ministry is. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to do it, are we? So what is the work of the ministry? So great a part of the church of Jesus Christ has a twisted view, unfortunately, of what the work of the ministry is. What is the work of the ministry of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ? There's no mystery on it. The Word of God is clear. He's given us clear instruction. And I think that it would be helpful for us if we look at that one who is our example. Jesus said in John the 13th chapter, after he had washed the feet of his disciples, he said, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you." Over in Hebrews 12, we're told to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. If we want to know what the work of the ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ is, then we must look at the ministry of the man himself. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, let's look at his ministry. Turn to the Gospel of Luke, the 4th chapter, if you have your Bibles. And let's see what Jesus' ministry was. Luke 4, we're going to begin to read here at the 14th verse. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus has just returned from the wilderness. He's just returned from his 40-day fast and temptation of the devil in the wilderness. Beginning to read it, verse 14, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. There went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias." Now that's the prophet Isaiah. "When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" This day. Jesus declared out of the prophecy from the book of Isaiah, from the 61st chapter and the first two verses in that book, that his ministry was what he declared it to be here. He said, "I've come to preach. I've come to preach deliverance to those that are captive. I've come to preach good news or glad tidings to those that are poor in their spirit." Over in Isaiah, the prophecy was, "I've come to preach the glad tidings unto the meek, those that have a humble heart toward God. I've come to preach the good news unto those people. I've come to preach that there's liberty to those that are bound by one thing or another. And I've come to heal those that are brokenhearted and broken-bodied and broken-minded." What did Jesus do when he was on the cross? He died for our sin, and he died for our diseases and our sicknesses, didn't he? He atoned for us completely in every area of our life. His ministry was to preach the good news that God in Christ Jesus has forgiven the sins of the world and to heal those that were broken in any area of their life. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was to preach and to heal. The work of his ministry was preaching and healing. Now, as we read on further in the Gospel of Luke, and while you're there, just look over in chapter 5, the 15th verse. And we see that that thing which he said the Spirit of God was on him in order to do, that's exactly what he did. "But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together." Why? "To hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." They came to hear him preach and to be healed. Now if you look over in the 6th chapter, in verse 17 and 18, "And he," that is Jesus, "came down with them," that is his disciples, And he stood in the plain in the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Why did the multitudes come? To hear him preach and to be healed of their diseases. Now the 18th verse is also interesting here, and I want to read that also. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were what? They were healed. Now deliverance is a part of the healing ministry of Jesus Christ. Some people in the church of Jesus Christ don't want to hear about deliverance. They don't want to hear about the power of God to set men free from demonic bondage and satanic oppression. But the healing power of God is not only in the heart, but it's in the mind and the body, and it extends to those that are held captive by Satan himself and by the hordes of darkness that have come out of the pits of hell. Deliverance is part of the healing ministry of Jesus Christ. He came to preach and to heal. And if the church is not preaching the gospel, it's not doing the work of the ministry. If the church is not healing those that are broken on the inside and on the head, in the mind, and in the body, the church is not doing the work of the ministry. And if the church is not ministering deliverance to those people that are bound by the powers of Satan, the church is not doing the work of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The work of the ministry is to do what Jesus did. Now, sometimes within the church, thank you, Father, sometimes within the church itself, you want to minister to the needs that a person has. A child of God is bound by something, bound by the work of the enemy. You want to minister deliverance. But the minute you begin to talk about Satan, demons, evil spirits, well, let me tell you something. You need not be afraid of anything like that if you've got the name of Jesus on you. Because Jesus is stronger than any of the power of the enemy. And if you're a child of God, so are you in his name. He said, in my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name, they'll do it. He said, all power, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore and do likewise. There's no need to be afraid of any of that. There's no fear in God because perfect love casts out all fear, and God is love. Jesus came to preach and to heal. And the work of the ministry is preaching and healing. That's what the church of Jesus Christ is to do. Now, do you remember what I told you last week about who does the work of the ministry? Does the prophet do it? Does the apostle do it? Does the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist? What do? They perfect the saints. They mature the people of God. They teach the people of God so that God's people who are out in the world where preaching needs to be done and where healing needs to be done, God's people are there to do the work of the ministry there where that person is bound, there where that person needs to be born again, there where that person is bound by sickness or disease. That's where the work of the ministry needs to be done, not here. See, most of you are sitting in this room already been born again. Most of you are filled with the Holy Ghost. You got good, healthy bodies, and the joy of the Lord is all over you. Hallelujah for that. But God has anointed you, and he's anointed me like he anointed Jesus with the Spirit of God. So that you may go out into the world and preach the good news, set those free, those people that are bound, heal the sick. That's the work that Jesus has given the church to do. That's the work of the ministry. And there's not a single one of you, if you've been born again, and if you've been filled with the Spirit of the living God, that does not have the same authority, power, and ability that the Lord Jesus Christ had himself.
Amen.
You got it. You got it. And anybody that tells you you do not have it is speaking under the anointing of the devil. The Spirit of God is upon the church of Jesus Christ. That's why it's important for you to come on in and get filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why it's important for you to receive the power that he has for you. That's why it's important that you open up your heart and yield yourself completely and fully so that his spirit can work in you and through you and you can do the work of the ministry. That's why he's given it. It's not just some crazy game that these people play so that they can speak in some kind of gibberish. That's part of the package, and it's glorious. Hallelujah, it's glorious. But the work of the ministry is to be carried out by those people who have been born again by the Spirit and by the Word, who have been anointed with power from on high. Jesus said, do not depart from Jerusalem until you receive the power from on high, and then you'll be my witnesses. Then you'll go out and preach the good news. Then you'll go out and heal the sick. Then you'll be able to go out and cast out devils. Get anointed with the Spirit of God. Allow his Spirit to come upon you. When John the Baptist was, this is really kind of funny, I think. John the Baptist in the 7th chapter of the book of Luke was inquiring about Jesus, and he wanted to know, he said, are you the Messiah or should we wait for another? Are you the one or should we wait for another one? Look at what Jesus said, 22nd verse. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way. Tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. How was John to know whether he was the Son of God or not? By whether he fulfilled the commission that God had put upon him. He said, go and tell John what you see. The gospel is preached. The deaf are hearing. People are being healed of all their infirmities. Just go tell them what you've seen. Now the world will know the Church of Jesus Christ today exactly the same way. Do you know why the world does not recognize the Church of Jesus Christ today as his own body? Paul said in Ephesians 5:30 that we are flesh of his flesh. And of his bones. We are the very body of Jesus Christ. It's more than a spiritual thing. We are organically the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if Jesus were here in the flesh, what would he do? That's what we're supposed to do. Because we are his flesh. We are his bone. We have the work of his ministry to do today. The world does not recognize the Church of Jesus Christ generally as the body of Jesus. Why not? Because the church doesn't do what Jesus would do. Now, if the church is preaching the gospel, and if the church is healing the sick, if the church is ministering deliverance to those people that are bound, the world around will know that it's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ without a doubt. Amen. And they'll come unto him. 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 You hear what I said? They will come unto him. The work of the ministry is to preach and to heal. He said, you do it. You go. Lo, I go with you always, even unto the end of the age. He said, I'm not going to do it. You do it in my name. You lay your hands on that sick person, he'll be healed in my name. Believe it. Pray for him in faith, and in my name he'll be healed. You do it. You're my body. The Spirit of God is upon you for that purpose. That's why you've been anointed. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you today. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord wants you to know today. I've never preached like this before. Hear what the Spirit of God wants you to know. You are the flesh and blood, bone, body of Jesus Christ today. When the devil hung Jesus on that cross, he thought he was putting the Son of God to death. All he was doing was multiplying him. He was multiplying him. He made millions more Jesus men and women, you see, filled with the power of God and anointed with his Spirit to go out into the world, into the highways and the byways and the hedges and the homes and in your neighborhoods and in your work and in your businesses and in your schools. The power of God is where you are. Lay your hands upon that person that's sick. Declare him to be healed in Jesus' name. Do it in Jesus' name. Preach the good news that Jesus Christ is alive. That men and women need not be bound by the power of the enemy any longer. Those days are gone for those people that will respond in faith. Jesus said, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall have it. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing. I don't care what it is, as long as it's in accordance with the Word of God. He'll honor it and he'll stand upon it. If you want the world to recognize you as a part of the body of Jesus Christ, then do what Jesus did. Do what Jesus did. Preach. You know, when I say that word preach, everybody think, well, Vic, you can do that, but I can't do it. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Declare the word of God, whether it's convenient to you or not convenient. You know, you can preach the word to 100 people. You can preach it to 100,000. You can preach it to one. One person. Share the word of God. Teach and preach. Tell that person what God has done for you. Tell him that Jesus is real. Tell him that God loves him. God has forgiven him of all of his sin. God has removed that stain from him if he just received the Lord Jesus Christ. Just received the promise of God. We're his body. It strikes me that in the 9th chapter of Acts, Paul, as he was on his way down to Damascus, and he saw this great light that came out of heaven, and he fell off of his animal, and a voice spoke to him. And he said, who are you? Well, the voice spoke to him first and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul responded, Lord, who are you? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now, have you ever wondered how Paul could persecute Jesus when Jesus was already dead, buried, resurrected, and seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty? How could Paul ever persecute him? He persecuted his body. And Jesus said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. That when you lay your hands upon one of my children, you lay your hands upon me. When you persecute one of my children, you persecute me, because they are of my flesh and of my bone. I am united inseparably with them forever. Why persecutest thou me? That's who you are. If you're in Jesus Christ, you're a brand new creature. You're not the old person anymore. You're brand new. You're joined with him forevermore. So if we're to do the work of the ministry, we need to do what he did. Preach and heal. The twofold ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is his ministry. That's ours. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's give thanks. Father, we thank you for the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that in him we truly are new creatures, and that the old has passed away, and behold, all things are become new. The old life is gone, and you've given us a beautiful new one. We thank you also, Father, for the blessed power of your Holy Spirit, the enabling, the ability to do that which you have called us to do, that we might, under the anointing of your Spirit, do the works of Jesus. We're grateful, Father, that you have not called us without equipping us, but that you have given us the call of God and also the anointing of God. So that we might with him say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Say that with me, all of you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Say it again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Thank you, Father, for that promise. And thank you for the reality, Lord, that we know that your Spirit is upon us. And that now we see more clearly than we have ever seen before the work that you've called us to do. And now, Father, we join our hearts together in this request that you would show us ways this week that we might do the work of the ministry. That you would give us not just one or two of us, Father. I don't want you to leave a single one out, Lord. Anyone that's in this room this morning, Father, that belongs to you, if he's a child of God, I don't care whether he's 7 years old or 70, Father, each one in their own way, that you would provide opportunities this week for them to preach deliverance to those that are bound, the good news to those that are poor in heart, liberty to those that are bruised, and healing would be ministered to those that are broken in body, mind, or spirit. And Father, we thank you for that which you're going to do through your body this week. We praise you for it. We give you thanksgiving right now in advance for that which you're going to do through us this week. Thank you, Lord, for calling us into partnership with you, that we might multiply the works that you did when you walked the streets and the highways when you were here. Thank you, Father, so much. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.
Something beautiful.
And sing it again.
Song.